that's possible to imagine, had they used their money a little more wisely to grow their country into a power that nobody would even recognize. They would have surpassed us in GDP already. But the way they've chosen to invest has done us a favor. It gave us time to recognize the growth, see what it's doing to us, recognize that companies that we rely on have decided to make more profit by shoving more operations offshore. It didn't take a Donald Trump to tell us that we're not manufacturing everything here. And when we talk about security, even in the old-fashioned way of looking at it, the more you become dependent upon somebody for your food and your weapons and the rest of it, what are we going to do? Find out one day that the weapon has a component in it that China flipped the switch and it doesn't work? Folks, we got to get used to the fact that we're all humans. We're on this planet. I'm a science fiction fan. As a kid, there was a famous book from even before, well, around the time I was born, War of the Worlds. I believe it was H.G. Wells. He was one of these, not so much a science writer as a science fiction fantasy writer. War of the Worlds put out the idea, underlying it all. You can go back and look at the original film, and they've redone it a few times, and there are other films do the same thing. But War of the Worlds put out the idea that as much as we argue with each other and hate each other and, oh, that group is not good, we're better, and all this other crap that we go through as humans, because people like keeping us divided, it's easier to deal with managing us. I love capitalism and free enterprise, but if you understand it, you look at War of the Worlds, and it said all of a sudden we're attacked by space beings. Back then, nobody knew what it was. They had a disc, creatures coming down, whatever they wanted to make them look like. A couple of the early movies even had them looking exactly like us. The idea being that if you were a smart alien and you knew how to get through space to our planet, you could easily know how to disguise yourself to look like us so you'd be less scary. Again, to get here, they had to be more advanced than we are. The point being that in that movie and other movies, when we are attacked as a world by foreign entities that are from outside our planet, we all work together because we know we're going to be obliterated like little pests by an exterminator. So all those movies have this common theme that we're all humans on this planet, and if we work together, we might survive. The sooner we all recognize, whether it's from the religious side, because all Bibles, no matter which group you come from, basically go back to some superior being creating us. If you go to science, again, it's we grew out of something, and then that expanded and eventually covered the globe with different people. The differences coming from where we live, the different temperatures, extremes, exposure to sun. But they both, whether it's science or the Bible, kind of say we come from a common beginning. If we come from a common beginning, let's understand that we all want to work together. So as I said, in one way, I'm happy China decided to waste a lot of money on building up a big military that if they ever bothered using, what would they do? Kill all the customers that now make them rich and then imprison everybody in camps and shut down all the factories they're running? I'm purposely doing this doomsday scenario because that's where it would head. So what we have to do is look at things and understand who's lying to us and what's important. As I've said, I tell everybody that whether you look at our GDP or anything, goods and services, we the public, 90-some-odd percent of us, spend like last year close to $14 trillion in buying goods and services. When we buy those goods and services, those businesses, whether it's a little shop and they understand it, or it's Amazon, no matter what they talk about that they pay, they include every expense in there. So my statement from the beginning has always been, no business pays any taxes. We, the public, who consume what they're selling us, we pay whatever they load in there. So as we go down the road and we look at this new budget that the president has put out, and the BS that they're going to tell you that, well, the Democrats aren't cooperating and this and that and that. No. All of those people serve us. We pay their salaries. We elect them. If they're not doing what we want, as I said, we get rid of them in a free enterprise by electing other people. So, when we understand the power we have, it doesn't matter who wants to spend millions of dollars that they took out of our pocket. There's going to be a chart that'll be during here. My alter ego's here today. Or maybe on or not. We'll see. But it was an interesting chart that if we get it on the screen that we're broadcasting out, it shows you the tax rates that we've had. It's a blue bar chart. It's so simple and straightforward that it's pretty dramatic if you look at it. I'll see if my text can get it out there for us. But when we look at that chart, oh, here it is. You may be seeing on your screen a chart that says the corporate tax rate, the United States federal corporate tax rate. But if you look at the bars, you see about six or eight bars that are blue top to bottom. I'm seeing it on one screen that I have here in the studio. And if you're seeing it on your phone or whatever you're watching, those blue bars are top to bottom on the chart. And on the right-hand side, it starts with 20, meaning 20%. And it goes up into the 30s. But what it's showing you is from 2000 or 2010, I can't read it from here, but you see those blue bars that go top to bottom right next to each other like soldiers. And then you see at the far right side, you got three little blue lumps, let's call them, because it's so tiny compared to the big bars. Well, those three little lumps represent the 2017 corporate tax cut. So the 2017, forget what money they gave back to wealthy individuals. I want everybody to understand this. Those blue bars represent, the big blue bars, represent the corporate tax rates that were built into the price that we all paid for goods or services. They didn't necessarily pay the top rate, but every corporation had to properly, for accounting, accrue the taxes they expect to pay whenever they report their income. Okay? And as I've talked before, there are many ways in accounting where you could defer income, either offshore or other things, transferring between companies till you get audited and they find out what you're doing. But those blue bars represent the federal tax cost of running a business that had to be taken into account by every business in the world when they charged us for the goods or services. So those big blue bars represent whatever was embedded in the price we paid, okay? Our money paid to buy their product or service. The little blue bars on the right-hand side show the tax rate went down for the last 3 years, and it's still down. So I ran tax departments. I would teach corporations that if you've been deferring things and you suddenly get a beneficial rate, you want to now bring that income in and report it. Because guess what? You're going to pay taxes at the rate in the year you report it. So while the rates are low, if I tell my companies, well, bring all that income you've been deferring in, pay that lower rate, and guess what? You don't send a refund back to the people or to the government. And it's our money. Remember, those big blue bars, we paid that money to those companies. They're holding it in case they have to pay it. So if they would listen to me, if I'm running their company's tax department, I say, bring it into income this year. You've got this low rate that could go up in the future. They collected those taxes from us with the expectation that they might have to pay it in the future. They don't want to take it out of profits, so they built it into expenses. By reporting the income currently, they pay at the lower rate and they have this humongous benefit that you could not take away from them because they deferred it to a period where they paid less tax, paid less of the money that we gave them. So, as I've said before, the easiest thing when you hear about deficits and the rest of it and all this crap that they give you, remember that we pay the taxes that any company believes they might have to pay. What we need to do, just as we have taxes withheld if we work for a salary, which is the majority of people, whether you're a big executive or not, you have withholding taxes, goes into the government, to the treasury. The money that we pay for taxes that go to companies that they defer forever if they can, is money that we the people paid, that if it were also withheld, whatever they estimated they might owe should be withheld and put into the treasury, just like our taxes. Because guess what? It came out of our pocket. If that money went in the treasury and we gave them a slip saying you have a credit for X billion dollars whenever you report that income, they would always get the credit to use. But we would have to borrow less money because of them deferring all the taxes. And when we borrow less money, our debt doesn't go up as high, our interest that we have to pay for all of those borrowings. So think about it. We, the public, pay 100% of whatever taxes businesses put in the goods or services we buy. They pay nothing on a current basis, big companies, and whatever little, or if they're smart and they have a guy like me telling them in their tax department, hey, the rate's so far down, let's report all our income this year. Everybody will think we made tons of money, but we'll save all those taxes. We will permanently, we the company, would permanently keep that extra money. That's our money, came out of our pocket. It was paid to run our country, but it never got in our treasury. Sounds like a jumble. Questions, you can always send them in. I've told you, AE equals MC squared. You can find me. My Gmail is AE, the word equals, then MCSQ at Gmail. On Facebook, you'll find me at AE, the word equals, then MC and the word squared. On Instagram, I'm at AE, the word equals, then MC and the word squared. Ask questions. I'm not trying to confuse anybody. I'm stating fact. This is proper financial planning. Call me the financial planner for the country. I am interested in America staying sound and solid. And especially when the dollars that these companies and businesses have collected came out of our pocket, they pay no expenses unless they're the stupidest company and then they go out of business. They charge every expense they have in the goods or services we buy. Then they layer a profit so that they can remain in business. So I don't want them to give me their profit. I want them to give me the tax dollars we handed them, put it in our treasury, we'll give them a little credit slip that says you've got money on account whenever you report income. And whatever taxes you owe on it, you can apply this against it. Then, in the future, when they decide to put all that income in a low tax year, why do they get to keep the money that came out of our pocket while we had to pay more federal debt and more federal interest expense? You get it, folks? It's our money. I want it to be withheld when it's in their price, put in our treasury. Simple change in the law. All of you just have to go over your congressman and say, why aren't corporations paying withholding taxes on whatever they've charged us in the price of their goods or services? That's not profit. It can become it if they manipulate it enough. That means we overpaid for what we bought. Okay? So welcome to Saturday. I'm always fired up when it comes to economics and my country and our world. I want it to be, we the people ultimately pay for everything. Whether it's a war where we pay with our lives because some idiots started an argument and they send your son, your daughter, your uncle, your father, your aunt, whoever. They put them in an expensive thing. Companies make money to build these war weapons. Weapons are needed. because of the history of mankind, we can't stop for being stupid with each other. But there comes a limit where you don't have to increase your nuclear arsenal. We've got more than enough to destroy the whole planet, if hundreds, if not thousands of times over. We want to make more strategic nuclear weapons? Fine, reallocate some of what we already have in the weapons. Don't just dismantle and put them on the side. That's easy enough. But let's not design new weapons, because at this point, the only thing newer is that if they press a button and the world within a microsecond disappears. Developing that would mean we really don't want to live on this planet anymore. Well, we don't want to live at all. So, Trump put out a budget approximately a week ago. I was really busy ranting, I guess, on what was going on last week. Let me just say, he put out a budget, and immediately, within a day or two after the budget, what happens? GOP members, I have never seen so much divisiveness. Let's all remind whoever is our representative or our senator that they all work for the American public. Period. I don't care if they're a GOP, an XYZ, a Democrat, an independent. They want to call themselves socialists, that's fine. As a child, I understood socialism and communism are two different things. I'm not crazy about both, but you know what? We've had Social Security. It takes care of a ton of people who lived and died and not lived in the streets because of Social Security. No system is absolutely bad. But certain elements of anything, when we get sick, what do? Do we say, I'm not going to go to the doctor and take a medicine. I'm just going to sit here and suffer and die? No, we go get a medicine. We sometimes have it flavored, so we don't mind taking it. But you know what? Ever since I was a kid, I understood the medicine is to help me get healthy and live longer. That's what we all want. We want to live healthy and keep going. So you get a president who throws a budget out there, and then the party, because he's divided it so much. And the reason, when he came in office, life was simple for him. Obama had already tamed the drop that happened on the Bush. And for almost 8 years, Obama had a constant, comfortable economy running. Anybody who listens or looks on the internet, there are so many figures out there. The last 3 years of the Obama administration, the average number of jobs created exceeded, on an average basis, the average number of jobs that Trump's created. Trump likes to keep comparing himself, and he wants to be bigger and better. Well, let me give you a statistic. I believe it was approximately the last year of the Obama administration. We had a deficit of around $600 billion. That's not chump change. But again, remember, we've been paying all these taxes that people have been running away, keeping it in their pocket. It's not profit till they figure out how to keep it long enough and make it profit. So, $600 billion. Trump should be out there telling everybody he's done so much better than Obama. Because I think at this point, he's exceeded $2.5 trillion to almost $3 trillion that he has added to the deficit. Why isn't Trump opening his jacket, hanging his tie down to impress you? I don't know if he's trying to hide his belly or make you think that he's got, don't watch his lying tongue or whatever the hell he's doing. This man has studied his craft so well. He gets lecterns adjusted. In fact, I remember that I've seen some side shots of Donald where everybody may be looking at his suit or his tie or his stomach. I don't care what he looks like. I care what he does, says, and what happens to us, period. I noticed, and I would swear to God that I'm correct, the man is wearing what, when I was a kid, I remember in Hollywood, you had some of these actors who were popular. They looked good, they sounded good, but the problem was they were shorter than everybody else. So how do you take a 5-foot actor who you want to be the star and you want him to at least be as tall, if not taller, than the women who are in the movie? They used something they called elevator shoes. Now, it wasn't just shoes for going in an elevator. It was a shoe that lifts you up. Between the heel on the back of the shoe and the inside of the shoe, it's kind of disguised so you don't see it. So this was especially for men who wanted to appear a little taller, if that bothered them. I like Mayor Bloomberg in one way. He knows he's got so much damn money that if he sat on his wallet, he'd be taller than almost everybody else sitting. So you get Trump. I saw his shoes in a few pictures where I looked at the whole person. He's definitely wearing elevator shoes. You know why? Because I admit I was 6'2 at my tallest. Once I got into my 70s, I realized that I'm wearing out the cuffs of my pants quicker. That's because my spine, because of gravity, is contracting. We all kind of compress a little bit over time, some more than others. What did I do? I bought pants with a shorter inseam so I wouldn't be wearing out the bottom of my trousers. I can't stop gravity from happening, but I can adjust so I don't have ragged edges on my pants. The other answer is I want to appear to be the same height forever. I keep getting shoes that have a little more height inside them. They're custom made. You can't tell that there's a pad inside. And I'm walking around on a small heel. You know, I think women used to call them wedges when they had those, instead of flats, they had a little bit of elevation. So they felt a little taller. Check it out the next time you see Trump from the side, or you see him walking where you can see his shoes. It isn't evident, it isn't a heel like a woman's heel, but it's a little bigger on the outside. A lot of the inch or two extra is buried inside the shoe. So the man comes out big and bad, and he puts out this budget that's $4.8 trillion. Immediately say Democrats are not cooperating. You know what, folks? They're all out there to run our government. This budget, let's remember, Trump ran and he said, because when you run for an office, I hate to say it, politicians, a lot of them, will try and make general statements that they know they will never necessarily follow. We could look back to a president that I admired, Daddy Bush. He was once the head of the CIA. He served in World War II. He was an intelligent individual, and he made something, no new taxes. Read my lips. Well, he got to a point where when he looked at the budget and everything else, he knew he needed some more tax to not create larger deficits. I've told everybody who listens to me on this show that the reason we keep going and the reason the dollar doesn't fluctuate like other currencies so badly is the value that's behind our dollar. I've told everybody that we each, 300 plus million of us, own one share of America. That share has a value. Currently, my rough calculation is that that one share that we each own is worth $200,000. We'll take $200,000 and multiply it by 300 plus million. It's a lot of value that we still have, and that's net of any borrowings or deficits that are out there. So when we had to spend for a war like World War II, or the Korean War, the Vietnam War, you got to factor the figures in. If we went and fought and we had to pay more money, if you think about it, and I've pointed to it, when we were 13 colonies, when we started this country, we didn't have a gigantic GDP. Back then, people weren't even tracking this stuff, generally speaking. But we ended up growing to become this full country by buying, or winning, or stealing, or whatever you want to call it, chunks of our territory. You know, the Northwest Territory, the Louisiana Purchase. If you looked at what we paid, no matter how small it was in current dollars, you'd have to bring it to the current to understand the value of that money. But when we bought the Louisiana Purchase, we probably exceeded a couple of times whatever GDP the country had. But it gave us more property. It allowed more people to expand. One of the things that's buried, I want to talk, there's a show, I think, starting tomorrow. I forget on which channel or network. We have so many cables out there. There's a guy called Andrew Zimmern, Z-I-M-M-E-R-N, not Zimmerman, Zimmern. He's into food and feeding people, and he talks about feeding. But listen to him. He's been studying this stuff for years. He's been going around with chefs. He has one chef he travels around with, who I think was originally from one of the Latin American countries. Could be Cuba, could be anywhere. He's opened a lot of restaurants. He's been successful. He was an immigrant who realized what this country allowed him to do under free enterprise. He's been giving back by helping people train to grow foods, to make things better. But that's part of what he's talking about. But look up, I forget what he calls the show, but you can look up Zimmern, Z-I-M-M-E-R-N. He's going to talk about what's happening to our food and our resources. Interestingly enough, what does he notice is happening? Because he's been in restaurant business, which, you know what? One way or another, we all eat food. If we never go to a restaurant in our life, we go to a supermarket or a grocer, we purchase stuff so that we can eat. There are probably a few people in America someplace who grow enough in their backyard, they're a farmer, and then they're selling their food anyway, so they interact with our economy. And maybe they grow enough that they can live on. They've got their little garden, they have enough kids, whatever. But basically all of us have to eat. And to eat, we go out and purchase things. When we purchase food or other things, we are out there buying different commodities so we can live. He's going to tell you about the availability. We don't understand it. We buy things like clams and oysters. These are generally found in beds, in groups of water. When you study our planet and our planetary system, forget the countries. These things are grown in these currents that move around different areas on our globe. Lobsters, shrimps, all things that we take for granted and we eat. Clams, oysters, they're in beds. These beds have been shifting. Find this guy, listen to his show. He's not selling anything. He's talking about the reality of where we get food from, what's been happening. We may run out of clams and oysters, or not in our continental. We may have to go to another country to get them. We may have none in ours. You know, people years ago started fish hatcheries when they realized they could sell more fish and they wanted a guarantee that they had a product. So people, I want us all to understand, we live on this planet together. We do have our own country and our schools and our kids and our families to worry about. But we are all breathing the same air. When China continues to manufacture without any pollution controls, so Trump is going to fix all that, he's going to get rid of the EPA little by little. So he's going to make us pay to pollute our water and our air. My alter ego is available now. So let me let you hear a more pleasant voice. But this is all serious, and I will get into some of it. Trump said he won't cut things. He's cutting them. Alter ego, chime in.
Good morning. Good morning. I want to keep that chart up. Thanks, Trump, for cutting our services in your new budget before I start talking about the Equal Rights Amendment and the Voting Rights Act. Very important to the country and our citizens. I put that up there as one of Trump's rally. Why? Because he's been here to Florida, Wisconsin, Ohio, lying and lying and lying. And unfortunately, people believe him, the elderly especially. I'm not sure why. I heard a conversation this week among six elderly people who decided that the Republicans who are against Trump are traitors and all kinds of things. I found it hilarious. But anyway, his budget is a $4.8 trillion budget. We are now in $3 trillion in deficit. And by the way, and I'm sure the host did mention this, that means that our Treasury Department has to go out and borrow money, issue debt, and pay interest on that debt because, as he showed you before in the chart, a 34% tax rate for corporations is now down to 21%. They're looking to cut it even more and make it permanent. So imagine all the money that's no longer coming into our treasury. Hardly was coming in even at those tax rates, but at least we had something to offset these outrageous budgets that are not benefiting most of us. Is only benefiting him, his buddies, foreign countries, companies who have operations here and outside of the U.S. You need to think about that, people. I don't think most of you are seeing any big raises in your paycheck. They're still laying people off and offshoring their business. But what does the budget do? He proposes cuts to Medicaid. By the way, I pay taxes and my paycheck. Please, I've said this before, look at your paycheck. You're paying federal, you're paying Social Security, you're paying Medicare, and you do pay for Medicaid. It's in your taxes. So he's going to cut Medicaid. He's going to reduce the Children's Health Insurance Program. He's cutting Medicare. He is going to increase money for NASA, and he is going to increase money for the military because God knows we need more of those bombs. He's going to slash the EPA by 26.5%. Equal Protection Act, people, it's the Environmental Protection Act. Do you want to now continue to eat food that is grown in contaminated soil so we can have more cancers and more issues, not just with adults, but children? Look at your kids. When have you heard so many children having adult onset diabetes at the age of 5 and 7? Think about it, people. He's going to cut the Department of Health and Human Services 9%. By the way, that is also the National Institute of Health and CDC. So you got to be very careful about that, because the CDC reacts to issues like this coronavirus that is now spreading all over the world. That's their job, to find a cure, to find a way to make it better, to restrict what's happening. Oh, I know that he has the money to take a plane and go to the moon, I guess, and get taken care of by some healthcare provider, but we don't have that luxury. He's cutting the education department by another 8%. Isn't that interesting? Let's keep you stupid. Let's keep your children from having opportunities in life by cutting what's necessary for them to take over the country in the future. He's cutting the Interior Department by 13.4%. By the way, he's also cutting the funding for the U.S. Agency for International Development. Now, you're going to say, why do we need to do that? You know why we need to do that, people? Because it no longer takes a year to get from country A to country B. You can't be isolated. You have got to make sure you're on top of issues that are affecting the globe that can get here just as quickly as a blink of an eye. That's why. Oh, and I love this one, the Agricultural Department. You know how we're subsidizing all these farmers because of his wonderful tariffs? Well, they're really on welfare. We're paying for that. Well, he's cutting that by 8%. Why are we doing that? $8.6 billion cut for the Department of Housing and Urban Development. I say to you people living in these small towns and southern towns, a lot of you are dependent on this money. That's how you're living. I guess you're going to be happy, as I have up on the screen, for those tax cuts. You're happy as a pig in crap. That's what I'm going to say to you. He's going to eliminate the community block grant. But you know what? That block grant is not just for affordable housing. It gives the state that you live in, money so that they can deliver food to seniors who are homebound. How many of you know old people who can't get out, who need food to be delivered? They don't have family. They don't have anyone. Think about that. It could be you one day. Some of that money goes to fight blight in communities in some of your state, and also to improve the infrastructure of your state, people, your roads, your highways. That's what the money is for. So you should now continue to drive in areas where the roads are cracked, they're crumbling. think about what these programs are. It's not that difficult for you guys to go online and read about this. Find out for yourself.
But don't worry. He's going to put some more money in stopping us from being invaded by children and peasants with blisters on their feet, with walls that can't even stand up in the wind.
And you know what's funny? He's keeping the Special Olympics in the states that are for him only. So I guess if you are a handicap and you don't live in Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin, you can forget the funding for the Special Olympics. So he's doing it by state. Is he the president of the United States or the president of the group of people you see on that rally, who, by the way, do have kids who are handicapped and adults who are handicapped?
Think about this. During Hitler's time, they had what was called Kristallnacht, where they burnt all the books to stop people from reading and getting smarter and understanding. Trump is simpler. Just cut the education budget. Keep everybody stupid. We'll put them somewhere. I don't know what he's planning on doing with people. Maybe he feels he's going to die and his family will deal with it. I don't even think he cares about what happens to his own family.
Well, remember, he has said many times in his rallies, why would I hire a stupid person and a poor person in my administration? Well, he's hiring stupid people in his administration. They just happen to have money and they're criminals. He's cutting the Great Lakes Restoration Program, but he's not cutting it in the states that are supportive of him. That's the state of Florida. Okay, look, guys, all I'm saying to you is, on this topic, you gotta read. You can't just have somebody rallying and saying all these things. You're not even checking anything. You're just like they did during Hitler and Mussolini's time. They just get you to get all excited while they're doing all the things that are going to hurt you.
Let me say that everybody heard over a number of administrations and different things, depending how old you are, about bubbles in the real estate market, that when they finally burst, we had these recessions and the rest of it. Let me explain. As an economist, not the best known on the planet, but one who studied it a lot, the tariffs that he put on, the $30 to $40 billion that we paid extra, that he used to subsidize farmers who would have gone bankrupt already, that's a bubble that's going to come back to haunt us. Forget real estate. Your food's going to go through the roof when he's done. And he'll have his next term and he'll say, well, the Democrats wouldn't cooperate. No, folks. It's all of us have to recognize the man made his money, and he announced it throughout his years, by borrowing and then going bankrupt. He never paid debt back. So in his mind, debt is something you accumulate and never pay back.
I want to say one thing before we go to the Equal Rights Amendment, which I want the photo to be put up. You know, people, he doesn't pay debt. He goes bankrupt. He uses other people's money. Our government, however, federal, state, and local government is not a damn business. You gotta stop voting for people who are trying to run the government like a business. We own it all. We pay to keep it all. So we don't need business people coming in and trying to run a corporation and then taking money and putting it in their pockets and leaving us with nothing. You have to start thinking about that. That was not the purpose of setting up a government. The government is set up to take care of its citizens, its communities, its people, period. That's what our government is for.
When all the borrowings and everything else happened countrywide, we had what was called the Great Depression. That's what happens when the government and everything else can't pay their debts. We all suffer. We have bread lines, people living in tents or in caves. People, just go back and study it. That's what happened. That's what he's creating, a bubble, not a real estate bubble.
And remember, people, when the economy crashed under Bush, the majority of the jobs that were lost were government jobs. People ended up living in their cars and in the streets. It's not because they wanted to be homeless. They were made homeless because they lost their means of being able to produce work and take care of their families. If you think the Bush era was bad, this one is even scarier. You know why? Because you will have no safety net to help anyone.
People always felt helpless, that what am I to do? Somebody else is running it. Let me just say this. We run the country by who we vote for and who we push out of office or put in office. We do not need someone who refuses to tell us how much money they're pushing into their own corporate businesses.
One of the things that I want everyone, women, pay attention, young people, pay attention, Equal Rights Amendment. You say to yourself, what does that mean? It's actually an amendment to go into our Constitution so you don't have politicians chipping away at your rights. They're doing it now because nobody's paying attention. Imagine if it's not in there. A woman called Alice Paul in 1923 introduced the Equal Rights Amendment. You know what it was called? The Lucretia Mott Amendment. That's what it was called. And it stated, men and women shall have equal rights throughout the United States and every place subject to its jurisdiction. The amendment was introduced in Congress. Now, let me explain something to you. In order to have an amendment in the Constitution, you need ratification of 38 of the 50 states in the Union. And that can take a while. But guess what? Congress introduced it. Let me just go through a little bit of this. 20 years after she introduced it, she rewrote it in 1943, given the new title of the Alice Paul Amendment to better reflect some of the languages that we now have in the 15th and 19th Amendment. Please don't ask me to read it to you. Look it up. You need to know what your Constitution says. I can't sit here and read all of it for you. Take a little bit of, be a little bit more proactive. So what does it read? Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. That's what the law read. We went through the 1960s with a lot of struggles and a lot of issues, but guess what? Think of how many years from the time she introduced this in 1923, rewrote it 20 years later. The Equal Rights Amendment passed the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives in 1972. It gave them 7-8 years for ratification. That would be the 27th Amendment to our Constitution. When it passed, 22 out of 38 states had no problem with it. But then it slowed down to only 8 in 1973. 3 in 1974, 1 in 1975, and none in 1976. Then came the era of, guess what, the actor, Mr. Reagan, and suddenly the Republicans no longer supported the Equal Rights Amendment. This woman died in 1977, but guess what? Women have been trying to make sure that this stays alive. But don't get it twisted. Because you had some women who were against it. Women against protection for women. Because they felt that all of a sudden women were not going to be taken care of by their husbands. They were not going to have certain rights. They were certainly going to go into lesbian affairs. These are the reasons why women were against the Equal Rights Amendment. But it's still the Democrats are still fighting for it. And guess what? January of this year, we actually got the 38th state to agree to it. But what's the problem that we're facing? Remember, they only gave 7 years from the time the Congress passed it for it to be ratified. We're now in 2020. So the fight right now, and by the way, it was January 27th, and it was the state of Virginia that became the 38th state to ratify it. Florida hasn't done it yet. They're thinking about it. Good luck with that. But it's 38 states with an amendment that expired in 1982. And every year, people who care go and petition Congress to keep extending it. What's the problem? We need the Congress to get rid of the deadline that was imposed back then, accept the 38 states, and put it in the Constitution. That is the problem right now. Young women, men, women, you need to be aware the efforts of people to give you the opportunities you have today, you're throwing it away. You're getting rid of it. You're not really paying attention. Again, Francis from Facebook, unfortunately, people will vote against their interest when voting for the GOP. That is absolutely correct. As long as you tell those people they're better, that everybody's against you, that's what they will continue to do. The people that need these services the most, it's hilarious. They're the ones that are keeping themselves in poverty, without health care, without housing, without anything.
We've heard from Lisa on Facebook. Her statement is, and she's right, the American government is entrenched in corruption. However, Lisa, remember what I've said. The American government is whoever we see fit to put in there. And if they're not doing what we the people want, and what my alter ego is talking about is from the founding of this country, we said all men are created equal. They didn't mean just men. They meant Homo sapiens, human beings. We have had to go through amendments to say, oh, we meant black people. Oh, we meant women. Oh, we meant, excuse me. All of us have a mother somewhere out there, okay? Maybe a sister, maybe an aunt. Are you going to tell them that they're less human than we men are? Without them, we wouldn't be here. I don't get it. Now, real simple.
We got to get through this quickly. We don't have a lot of time. The Voting Rights Act. The Voting Rights Act, people. I don't want to go through too much history now because I don't have the time to do it. Unfortunately, I think you need to understand. It was passed in 1965. It wasn't because blacks weren't allowed to vote. Prior to that, because in 1870, we passed the 15th Amendment that prohibited states from denying a male citizen the right to vote based on race, color, or whatever previous situations they were in. But guess what? The South said, hell no, you're not going to vote. And they put all kinds of blockage, making the slaves who used to be slaves have to pass literacy test, recite the Constitution that even whites could never do. They did all of this. And in 1965, we finally got a law in place. And part of that law stated that in southern states where they made it difficult for people of color to vote, before they put their election process in place, they had to be reviewed by the Supreme Court. Then we got that wonderful Justice Roberts. Oh, he felt that because we had a black president, we didn't need to keep an eye on what these states were doing, and he gutted the law. He said states can decide whatever the heck they want to do, and guess what the Republican states started doing? Restricting voting, kicking people off the voting rolls, came up with these IDs, all kinds of things. So here we are. What is Trump doing right now? He wants to get rid of it completely. So now he's elevating people from Mississippi and Alabama, all of these attorney generals and or whatever they do for the Republican Party in their state. They're now sitting in the federal district courts. They're 28 and 38 years, respectively. They're there forever. And they don't believe that the Voting Rights Act should exist. Black people, all people, because if you're poor, you're no better than anybody else because they're going to look down on you. You need to act. I see no one out in the streets protesting. And the worst part about it is I don't see any of the candidates talking about the Equal Rights Amendment, talking about the Voting Rights Act that affects everybody. Okay, but you need to be informed. Please start reading. Please start realizing that he has now put Andrew Brasher,
was the Solicitor General of Alabama, straight into the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. This is what they do. They're putting people who are going to allow them to do whatever they want with no control and no oversight. All we have to look and see is what happened with the impeachment. He's impeached. He's just not removed because the Republicans have decided that they don't need three branches of government. He can have all the power they want. So now he controls the court. He controls the Senate. We only have the House, and they're trying to fight to keep something in place for us. Pay attention, people. Pay attention. The next thing I want to talk about is these. Mueller went after a lot of these guys because they did interfere in our election. They lied. They made money. They did all kinds of things. And what are we doing now? Because Trump is saying it openly. Congress has said, I can do whatever the heck I want. I can fire anybody. I can give Giuliani and Roger Stone and Flynn, who should have been tried as a traitor to America, and he wasn't. All these guys will now walk away, continue to walk away, and continue to do harm to our country because we have a president who's corrupt himself, should have been put in jail many, many years ago, and now he knows that our senators have abrogated their rights. This is exactly what Hitler did. This is exactly what Mussolini did. Is exactly what Putin is doing in Russia right now, taking away the power of the legislature. And recently Trump talked about, why do we need these judicial judges? So he's going after the judges today.
In China, just a quick note, the coronavirus that everybody's heard about, the Chinese government just released that the number is multiples of what they told you before. They now have over 60 some odd thousand people infected, over 1,600, I believe, deaths. They control what comes out, but their people have actually been saying, we want a little more free speech. Remember, the doctor who died from the coronavirus, he originally wanted to say it. They wanted to throw him in jail in China because he was talking about something that was going to affect his country. They're doing it there, too. We don't need suppression.
But that's correct. We are in a police state currently. People on Facebook, if you notice, if you say anything negative about the president, they take you off. But yet the president, his supporters can curse, put people down, do whatever they want to do, the same thing on Twitter, and they don't say a word. Why is that? We are supposed to be able to agree to disagree. We have a right to do that. We are in a police state. He's collecting information now from people's cell phone. He claims that that's a way of making sure that we don't have any illegal immigrants. How can he tell if your host is an illegal immigrant or not? He's collecting data. Why is he collecting data? Because he'll know from there. Are you voting for him? Are you with him or against him? What are you doing? People, we are in a police state. Pay attention.
The reason he keeps the unemployment rate down, because these are things we're used to looking at, is because he's limited immigration. I've said this many times on the show. Immigration is what has grown this country. Our population increases. The need for services change. We all like new restaurants and new foods. That man I told you, look up Andrew Zimmern and look at his show. He talks about these issues. Zimmern. He talks about the lack of immigration. Who's going to be tending the fields and picking our food that we don't do? This is a real issue. Are we going to wait till Trump gets in again and then he releases the numbers and he says, well, tough shit, I've been reelected. Deal with it. That's how he deals with people that he has snookered, is what we used to call it back in New York.
And I'll say one thing. He's limited immigration. People are still not making a lot of money. If you think working two and three jobs is great, so I can find a third job and make $8 here and $9 here is great, why aren't those people doing it? His kids don't even know what it is to earn a normal salary because they've already had everything they've ever wanted. Okay? companies are still laying off and offshoring and or making you a contractor and or replacing you by robots. So what are you going to be doing, people?
And when my alter ego was talking about the budget, he's put more money into protecting us on our southern border. As I've told you, his father taught him, and he does it all the time, the more money that he can control its spending, who he gives contracts to and what they give him through the back door, that's where some of the billions he's adding, while he took it away from some of the military families that need it right now. So he's increasing the budget for something we don't need, for an invasion that, if you think little kids and people with blisters on their feet are the biggest problem we have, no. He's a master builder, and he said the concrete didn't dry when that fence fell over. Come on, people. Who puts a gun? The worst contractor I know could put a wall up that will stand in a 37-mile-an-hour wind, and that one had slats in between it, and it still blew over. Do not be fooled. Look at what's in front of your eyes. I will continue to talk about economics and everything else. I appreciate you tuning in. Okay, Tracy Belling, I enjoy to learn, appreciate all that you do. You know what? I do this because I believe in my country and I believe in serving it. This, as a veteran, as a citizen, this is how I'm serving it now. I'm trying to get people to focus on the power we have. We don't need the money. We have the votes. And I don't want to see 70 or 75% would be big. I want to see 80% come out and swamp them with votes.
People, you got to get out and vote. I get tired of hearing people saying our vote don't matter. Your vote does matter. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Thank you all.